The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Starting a fullback instead of a running back? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. The whole crew is here. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and Stefania Bell.
Different shot.
Yeah, we're taking
Look at that. It's a wide shot.
What's happening?
And normally I don't like when I think you're wide.
Wide shots?
But I like this one.
I think they felt like, you know what? It's been after the Thanksgiving holidays. Barry, we noticed the baggy shirts. We probably should do a wide shot.
By design, though. So it's
by
allowed.
Design.
It's allowed. Yeah,
understood.
It's baggy. It's
a lot of people, like, I see Field and Daniel, like, going to the gym, and Stefania is a workout fiend, and I'm just like, you know, it's a lot easier to just buy baggier shirts.
Honestly, you guys are killing yourselves.
I just shop one size higher. It's like, I don't know. It's a time saver. That's all I'm saying. It's the Sam Presti theory.
Yeah. Did you guys ever read that piece about Sam Presti, who apparently took decision making out of his wardrobe because he found some way that having to go through the process of choosing what you're going to wear each day is wasting, some percentage of brain capacity that you have each day. So he just wore a navy sport coat and a white button down shirt every single day. Yours isn't quite as simple as the same clothes, but it's just you buy the right style. You never have to worry about whether your jeans fit or your shirts fit. They fit in perpetuity.
Yeah, it's factually correct. And the truth is, I don't even do that. You know how I shop?
Your wife does it for you?
Here's how I'm going to show you how to shop.
Barry School of Fashion.
Yeah. Hey, Beth, I need a new shirt. There you go. That's how I shop.
Best decision you ever made.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Honey, I could use some jeans is another way that I shop.
Matthew has been bringing the heat, though, this year. I've been very impressed with the stepping it up of his wardrobe that we've seen so far.
It is my wife. It is entirely my wife's doing. But listen.
The better Barry.
You are my fashion spirit animal.
And I got to give you some tips. You need some sweater tips? Let me know.
100%.
Let's get into the news. AJ Green of the Bengals limited in his return to the practice field yesterday.
What did I tell you, guys? I told you he was definitely coming back. Man.
Right. Yeah, he was very confident, by the way, that he is going to be available this Sunday, and we apologize for the quick blip on the Twitter stream. We'll be back in just a moment. But Stefania, tell us about AJ Green. If he's healthy enough to play, she says he is, do you believe the fact that he's going to be 100% or play 100% of the snaps?
I don't know that you can because we haven't seen it yet. And, I've said this, I feel like a broken record in the sense that these turf toe injuries are really difficult to predict, and there's no way to assess how he will feel or perform in game until we see him perform in a game. And if you want to go back for an example, you go back to when he had this injury several years ago, and when he first came back, within a series he had to exit again. Not saying that's going to happen. He could go and play just fine all the way through, but the notion that you could be guaranteed that he's going to make it is silly. Now, I love his confidence. I love the fact that maybe he waited an extra week because they wanted to get him feeling better for another week. And I love what he said yesterday. Kat Terrell, who covers the team for us, does a great job, had said that AJ Green was very clear before she could even get the question out. There was no way he was shutting it down this season, no matter what the status was for the Bengals. He was going to play and play hard. And so I think that is all part of what drives him. And that helps. That makes me like him more. But as far as the injury goes on its own, no guarantees.
Yeah, he was more outspoken than he normally is. AJ Green, one of the more reserved superstars in the NFL. But when you are that reserved.
But when prompted.
Especially
about that type of thing.
Right. Your words carry more gravity when you speak with such confidence and exuberance as AJ Green did yesterday. I think in my initial ranks, Matthew, had him around 16. So a wide receiver two downgrade a little bit. Not so much.
I am at 20. It's going against Denver. The Denver pass defense has been vulnerable recently. Certainly, it's not the Broncos defense of old, but the concerns that Stefania said of possible re-injury, of a possible limited snaps, of the fact that we haven't seen the Jeff Driscoll to AJ Green connection just yet, so we don't know what that exactly looks like. Has me as a low end wide receiver too. I'll say this. I said this before that I didn't think we would see AJ Green again this year. You, Field, correctly called it, and that you thought, hey, he's a competitive guy. Marvin Lewis is coaching for his job. I think this is a stupid move by the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's a dumb move by AJ Green. I think it's a dumb move by the Bengals organization. I will say that. I don't mean to be all.
You could chime the Bengals for over the course of the years.
No. Hey, listen. And I'm not trying to be all hot takey or anything like that. I'm certainly not trying to do that. Listen, and I truly admire AJ Green, the fight and the persistence and the desire to want to be out there. I get that. I completely understand that. But I just personally think for a guy that is a franchise player, for a guy that is the centerpiece of that offense, for a guy, that has struggled with injuries throughout his career, and especially at this point in his career, I believe he's 31 at this point. This doesn't make sense to me just from an overall global standpoint for a 5-6 team with a backup quarterback in a division where
I'm not there yet.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why it does. Because here's an injury that technically it's not going to get any worse. Like, will he be able to function with it and play effectively with it? The only way to find out is to try it and find out. And if he were to stop playing now, he wouldn't necessarily know if he needs a procedure in the offseason. We don't know if that's even on the table. But if he goes out and tries to play and is not able to perform effectively, that may be an option. And sometimes this is how you make that decision. You triage it and you say, can you go out and perform? And if you can't, or you try and you're just not yourself, then you say, okay, well, I know that I need to address this in a different way. And if you don't play and you get feeling good and you come back next year at the start of the season and then you have the same problem, now you've lost that. So that would be one reason, I would say, just purely from the medical side, why you actually want him to test.
That's good to know that it can't get any worse. It's always one of those barometers that I keep track of.
It is good to know.
I mean, when I say can't get it, like the nuances of that are...
Sure. I understand what you're saying.
And by the way, Thirsty Kyle throws it up on the screen here. AJ Green turns 31 in July, so I added about 6 months to his age. So anyway, happy early birthday, AJ Green. Look, I would love to be wrong on this one. Hope he plays great the rest of the season and there's no setbacks. Whatever. You guys know how I feel about the Bengals as an organization.
Happy 75th birthday, by the way, Matthew.
Thank you very much.
I just added 6 months to you. How's it feel?
Wow.
We'll ask you and AJ Green how it feels at another time.
Did you see Secret Squirrel? I need your ruling on this one real quickly. Did you see Field Yates? I don't know if he posted on Twitter, Instagram. It's hard for me to keep up with all of Field's social channels. But he posted a picture that he took from the Fantasy Football Now
yes,
set.
We have
some of these old-timey football artifacts on there as set decorations.
If you have it, Luna,
and
you
so
got to throw
old,
it up.
It's an old leather helmet.
Field,
it's a leather. What, it was on your Twitter?
It's on my Instagram.
On your Instagram,
Matt Field
Yates.
Amazing. Yeah.
So if you want to see it, so it's an old-timey leather football helmet. And you know, of course, he said, like, hey, I found, you know, Matthew Berry TMR's, you know, first football helmet or something like that.
Yeah, there it is.
I appreciate, there it is. Yeah. Got the chance to try on Matthew Berry TMR's high school football helmet. I appreciate you saying high school as opposed to my first one, you know, that I had as a child. Secret Scroll, you tell me. Is that too harsh? Is that a little
harsh?
Far when he starts, when he's
me?
Bringing in props now?
No, the fact that he's even saying you were a football player in high school, you should be thanking him, Matthew.
Point.
Like,
right.
He's adding athleticism to your high school career, which we both know you did not have.
I was
a collegiate tennis player, blah, blah, blah.
I was a great high school football player. Yeah. I was a great high school athlete. I was a great high school athlete. And had I grown up, whatever, in New England,
days.
In Connecticut, I could have easily, played high school football. I grew up in Texas. I'm 6 foot, 200 pounds. And by the way, I've been 6 foot. I mean, I've gained weight, obviously, as the years have gone on.
How did
but
we
I was,
here?
I was six foot. I was 6 foot in when I was 12 years old.
Can't
I've been the same
that.
Height since I was 12 years old. No, but when I was a big kid is what I'm saying. Like, I'd have been fine on the football field.
Matthew's that kid that every year when I watch a Little League World Series, I'm like, who is that behemoth right there?
Right.
They're like, you know, like, whatever. His name is like Teddy, and it's like, you know, it's like age
it's,
11.
It's like
6'1".
It's very funny.
That's what his comment is.
From the year, yeah. From like, from either 11 to 12 or 12 to 13, I forget, I grew like 6 inches that summer. And literally, we were thinking like, am I going to be a basketball player? Like, am I going to be 6'8", 6'10"? Because I'd grown so much at that point, and I literally didn't grow another inch. You know, I had that huge, I had a huge growth spurt over one summer, and then I never grew another inch. But it was so funny because, like, in junior high, like, I was a power forward. And just like, as every eight group went up, I was just like, then I was a shooting guard, then I was a small forward, then I was a shooting guard, then I was like a point guard by the time I got to like a senior in high school. So.
Very impressed.
Yeah.
I want to learn more about you, about your high school athletic endeavors. Let's move along to some news. Marlon,
well, when I take you out to the basketball court and I beat you in 1-on-1, you'll understand exactly, exactly the kind of abilities
I
have.
All I have to do is play defense and run you up and down the court. And
it's
going to
be
like
half
a
court game. We've already decided this. It's court game.
Soon enough, we're just going to be playing like, you know, like on a little desk pop a shot. It's like, Matthew's like, no, none of this endurance crap. All right. Like, I want to play what's favorable to me.
I assumed it was me and you and NBA TK.
That works too. Yeah.
In front of an Xbox is what I thought we were talking about here.
Marlon Mack did not participate in practice on Wednesday for the Colts concussion. This happened this past Sunday. And Stefania, we don't know exactly how far along he is in the protocol or if he's even made any progress whatsoever.
No,
is it a minor concussion, Stefania?
You know how we feel about these things. There's people still using the terminology, by the way. There is no such thing as a grading of a concussion when it happens. Look, it was Wednesday, and often what you're not seeing is what they're doing. Even if they're doing some light aerobic activity, you may not see that on the field. They're just not practicing. So we have no way of really gauging whether he has made progress through that staged return to play protocol.
Keep an eye out on that one. Obviously, with Marlon Mack possibly being down, it opens up the possibility of who would step up as the next Colts running back up. We don't know if it's going to be a one-game thing, a multi-week thing, or no games at all for Marlon Mack. But I have a theory as to why I would prefer Nyheim Hines over anybody else amongst these Colts backs if Marlon Mack sits.
Let's hear it.
If you look back to when they played the Jaguars just a few weeks ago, I believe it was 3 weeks ago, maybe more recently than that. They win that game against Jacksonville. Marlon Mack is limited to 12 rushes for 28 yards. The way that you can do damage, I think, against this Jacksonville defense, and oh, by the way, the Colts can do damage against any defense, is probably by throwing the football effectively. So which makes me believe that while it's possible that Jordan Wilkins, who got zero carries last week, could lead the Colts in rushing attempts, I think I still might prefer Nyheim Hines this week if Marlon Mack sits. Matthew, you have a disagreement there?
No, I don't agree. I don't have,
easy for you to say.
I don't have any disagreement. Yeah, I don't have any disagreement on that. Hines was sort of at the beginning of the year when Marlon Mack was not with the team when he was dealing with that hamstring injury.
Yep.
Hines was the more effective runner, was the guy that had sort of taken over that lead back role. I would agree with you when you think about Jacksonville, who's eighth against the run over the last 4 weeks, but 18th against the pass, that is the way to sort of attack them. And then you think about those corners, A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So how are you going to attack the Jaguars with the pass? It's dump offs to your running backs. It's the tight ends in the middle of the field, which is one of the reasons why I have Eric Ebron as a top three play this week. And yes, I would agree that if Mack were to miss this game, Hines would be the one you want, not Jordan Wilkins.
All right, let's move along to the last piece of news here. It's Mitch Trubisky of the Bears. A weird injury report day for the Bears, as Mitch Trubisky says, or Matt Nagy said he was not going to practice, and then he ended up being listed as a limited participant in practice. Akeem Hicks had his practice status updated later on in the day, like it either wasn't listed and then was added, or was listed and then was removed. It was a weird day for the Bears with injuries, is the point. Stefani, it sounds like Mitch Trubisky is probably not going to be out there on Sunday, though.
Yeah, it sure sounds like he's not going to play. They're still calling him day-to-day. And just for clarification, these things happen sometimes. There's administrative things that happen. There's a lot of telephone. You know this from working in an organization. I'm like, oh, it doesn't look like he's going to practice. But sometimes a guy goes in for treatment, or he comes in, he feels really good, and they say, well, hey, why don't you go out and try a few things? Or we'll try, you know, X amount during the scope of practice today and see how it feels. They come in feeling a little bit better, or maybe it's part of what the medical staff wants to test. What if we go through A, B, and C, and let's see how he responds? It gives us a better idea of where he's at. So these things happen. I think the thing that's notable here is that Ever since we had the incident with Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins were fined. I think teams have been very particular about making sure that everything they're reporting is in fact accurate. Not that they were deliberately being inaccurate before or anything like that, but knowing, okay, if a guy took a few reps and we say he did not practice, that is fine worthy. So we are going to make sure that we document everything correctly. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as it sounds like. And the fact that they changed his status, I think that was probably the expectation. Then he did a little bit in practice.
Well, if anything, if you're making it, like if you're upping his participation, making it clear that he was out there, the league is going to say, like, thank you for clarifying that as opposed to the other way around.
Well, maybe. But if you think about it from gamesmanship, if everybody thought already that Mitch Trubisky wasn't going to play, and now you say he's limited, people might be going, oh, hey, maybe. So
pull the wool over
it doesn't
the
necessarily add clarity from the game, you know, readiness standpoint, but it's more important that they're documenting accurately what happened.
My favorite part of the year is the holiday season. It really is. And this holiday season, you can get everything you need for you and your loved ones at MeUndies. MeUndies uses the coveted micromodal fabric, which is 3 times softer than cotton. If you've never felt this fabric, get ready to experience pure bliss in underwear form. This year, MeUndies will be releasing a new print every Tuesday. It's kind of like rankings. They come out on Tuesday also. That means you'll have no excuse not to celebrate the holidays right down to your very core. But why stop at the undies? This year, MeUndies is launching their holiday prints in lounge pants, shout out to those, and onesies. I love a good onesie. Both are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. No brainer. Get 15% off of the most comfortable underwear you will ever put on. To get your 15% off, plus to get 50% off your first free pair, plus free shipping, not first free pair, but your first pair, plus free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFF. That's MeUndies.com/FFF.
Game review.
You're so good, Daniel.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned you loved onesies. Is that what you wear when you and Chapin have sleepovers?
I like lounge pants and onesies.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I like lounge pants more than onesies.
Got it.
Is that what we wear when we have sleepovers? We live together. We're about to get married. We don't have sleepovers. We live in the same house.
Wow.
What do you and Beth wear when you have sleepovers? Is that what you call it? You say, Beth, you want to sleep over on Thursday night?
Well, I rephrase it a little differently, but yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, to be fair, I do wear a onesie like 3 out of the 7 nights of the week.
Do you really?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I have a MeUndies onesie that I wear 3 out of the 7 nights of the week. It's really comfortable.
It's true.
It's like a green plaid. I sort of look like a lumberjack.
I demand a picture.
I know another onesie that you wear sometimes during the week.
Wow. Stefania.
I was going to say, what does that mean? Is that an inside joke that you guys just push right there?
Or, he knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know. But none of the rest of us do. So that's great.
You want to guess
nothing better than a joke that none of the audience gets.
You want to guess what I wear to bed the other 4 nights of the week, Matthew?
I have a guess. Nothing.
I hope it's a t-shirt
innuendo.
With my picture.
There's a thing called innuendo in comedy. You just sort of like let it sit there.
Oh,
you ruined
it. My bad.
Yeah.
But yes, it is nothing. I don't wear anything to bed.
Nice. Just a smile. I demand a picture of you wearing this onesie.
Okay, deal.
Before you get into bed. And I want like one of those little, what do you call those caps, Stefania? Like the, twas
the
night before Christmas kind of hat.
Like a stocking cap.
Yeah, stocking cap with a long, right. Yeah, you know.
I don't have one of those, but I will get one.
Get one and then, yeah. You know what? I bet you they have a Detroit Lions one. I bet you could buy one of those.
I'll see.
I bet you could.
I'll see what I can find.
That sweet new Lions hat you have.
I have a sweet new Lions hat that I've been wearing.
No, but for the onesies pajamas, you really need the stocking cap, twas the night before Christmas hat.
Yeah, that's fair. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about this football game.
All right, let's do it. Time now to preview Saints and Cowboys. Both these teams played last Thursday, so no short week, which is always a good thing for the quality of the game. Here are the players starting for the Saints. 53 of them. No, not seriously, but Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas, you are starting them. But Tre'Quan Smith, Stefania, we can't make a decision on him until we know if he's going to play. What is your sense right now on Tre'Quan Smith?
That he's going to play. Okay. And I think I was, high on this earlier in the week based on, we talked about the rationale. Last week was a short week. They played on Thursday. It was probably too soon to have him go, but he was still very available, spoke with reporters. There wasn't any indication it was a big injury. He was involved in practice every day of this week, which is good for game planning. And, he was off the injury report. That's the most important thing coming into Thursday. You know, he is removed from the injury, the pregame injury report, meaning not labeled questionable, not ruled out, otherwise expected to play.
Good news there for Tre'Quan Smith, who was amazing the last time he took the field. 10 catches, 157 yards, a touchdown in that game. And last week we had this conversation, and it was centered around Calvin Ridley, where it's like you get past sort of the confidence tier.
Sure.
And you think to yourself, like, like every wide receiver here on out is a guy that could do it,
yep,
but also could go, like, you know, 2 catches for 14 yards, something like that. Could go crazy, could go tight.
Yeah.
Tre'Quan Smith, I think, might be at the top of that tier for me this week. Like a guy that, because of the offense he plays and because of the role that he has, would not stun me at all if he found the end zone tonight. Dallas is a good secondary, but it's...
Dallas has a good secondary. Dallas has a good secondary, but they also, they're pretty good against the deep ball. They're one of the better teams in the NFL against the deep ball, you know, and to me, yes, look, the last game we saw Tre'Quan Smith played, he was all over the field. He was doing amazing things, but for the majority of this year, he's basically been a big play dependent fantasy asset. That's what you need that big play from him. Now, he's got the kind of speed. He's got the kind of quarterback. He's in the offense that can produce those. You know what I mean? So it's sure, not outside the realm of possibility here. And obviously this game is in New Orleans on the turf. It's a 52.5 over under. So there's a lot of points to be expected here. But my concern is like the last game we saw the Saints, it was like Keith Kirkwood and Dan Arnold. And I mean, all these randoms. And so does Tre'Quan Smith get the kind of volume he's going to need to get there, especially against a defense that at least so far this year has been pretty good against the deep pass. And so for me, I'll tell you, Tre'Quan Smith came in at 35 for me. So he's a wide receiver 4. He's kind of a boom bust wide receiver 4. I'll give you a couple of guys, as you mentioned, sort of that tier. Like, so I have Josh Reynolds ahead of him. I have Adam Humphries ahead of him. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple of guys like that.
So basically what we're all tracing back to is players that play in prolific passing offenses.
Yeah.
Could score a touchdown, but yes, also are not the number one player by any stretch in their respective passing offenses because, of course, in Tampa Bay, that's Mike Evans. In Los Angeles, that's Brandon Cooks or Cooper Kupp. I'm sorry, or Robert Woods. And obviously in New Orleans, it's Mike Thomas and probably Alvin Kamara.
Now, I have a couple of, I have Doug Baldwin and Devin Funchess ahead of him. That may change, sure, as the week goes on. Baldwin missed practice yesterday. So, you know what I mean? But like, I think that's where he is. And you have him at 28. So you have him a couple spots ahead of me, but we both have him sort of as that low end wide receiver 3, high end wide receiver 4. He is certainly a boom bust guy. But to your point, if you're down in that range and looking for a boom bust guy, we think Tre'Quan Smith has a lot of talent and he's playing with one of the greatest deep ball passers in NFL history.
I think a lot of people feel as though Ark Ingram is probably a starter in their lineup, but just a matter of what can you expect out of him? Great, great offense. And any given Sunday, or in this case Thursday, Mark Ingram could have 20 touches and 2 touchdowns for the Saints.
Yep.
Here's where we have him this week. Matthew has him at 26, real strong flex consideration. I've got him at 21. Stefania, the most bullish around 16 for Mark Ingram, guys. I can sit here and ask Stefania, like, why are you so confident versus Matthew? Why are you so not confident? But like, is it really, like, do you have a great sense of when a Mark Ingram night is going to come? And the Cowboys are solid against the run. It's more like the Saints are just that good, averaging 37 plus points in a game.
For me, it's the Saints are just that good. I feel like their offensive firepower is huge right now. I have a feeling that they're going to get up big early. They're going to throw a lot early. They're going to want to establish a lead early in Texas. And then they're going to make use of their 2 running backs. And I think one of the things that we've seen is that the Saints have mixed it up. You know, Mark Ingram, obviously, when he came back from suspension, came out of the gate flying. It was almost like they wanted to give him that game. And then we saw a drop off. Everybody got worried, right? Should I sell Alvin Kamara? Because, you know, is this going to be how it is? But then couple weeks, it was the Alvin Kamara show. And we didn't really see anything until a few weeks later when Ingram scored 2 touchdowns. So I do think that they like to keep everyone on their toes and sort of shift the balance a little bit. So I feel like this is going to be a Mark Ingram game. I will say from Thirsty Kyle, nice stat, with Ingram suspended weeks 1 through 4, the Saints ran the ball only 34.4% of the time, which is 24th. Since Ingram's return, they run the ball 52.4% of the time, 2.1 percentage points above any other team. I think if they get up early, they make use of that run game. And it just also was, you know how we talk about sometimes it's what you're looking at, where you're around. I had Ingram initially a little bit higher, but Philip Lindsay bumps up for me. I still like Sony Michel. He came out last week strong, so I changed his position a little bit. But I just like him and his chances of getting in the end zone more than some of the other guys I have him ranked above.
If it's most likely to get in the end zone, any Saints player is almost always a good bet. We're going to take a quick break and come right back.
I'm less bullish on Ingram. I'll just sit there. I mean, under 70 rushing yards in 5 of 7 games this year. Dallas has allowed under 70 running back rushing yards in 5 of the past 7. They're the 5th best run defense over the last 4 weeks, right? They've allowed just 2 running back rushing scores in their last 7 games. You know, Mark Ingram has not had more than 3 catches in any game this year. So he's not really involved in the passing game. When they pass the running back, it is Alvin Kamara more often than not, you know, 75% of the time, if not more. And so you're banking on a touchdown. And to your point, Field, he easily could get in the end zone here, but given all the different weapons that New Orleans has and the strength of the Cowboys defense is that run defense. My feeling is that they attack Dallas through the air. And so that's why I have Mark Ingram outside my top 20. I guess we'll find out. It's just how confident are you that he gets into the end zone? I think it really comes down to for people tonight.
We're taking a quick break and come right back and preview. How about them Cowboys?
Ugh.
You're in the 06010.
All right, now a quick note from our ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Liz Caceres, ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. And did you know that Michael Caine's real name is Maurice Micklewhite? Also, he's in The Muppet Christmas Carol, which you all should be watching for the next 4 weeks. And now, back to the show.
Wow.
Wow.
So
there was a fact I did not know before.
You know what that's infotainment is what that is. Nice job, Liz. I have to disagree with her on Muppet Christmas Carol, though. Understand this.
What part? Okay.
I am a Muppet fan. I am a crazy Muppet fan. And if you're not aware of this, if you want, you can Google Matthew Berry Muppets and a couple of different things will come up. I've written about this before multiple times. Back in my Hollywood days, one of the great, probably the greatest regret of my writing career is that my writing partner and I were hired to do a reboot of The Muppet Show. For the Fox network before Disney bought the Muppets. So, I mean, this is quite some time ago. And it's actually a very funny story. I've written about it if you want to look. But because of network politics, we ended up not getting on the air. We did a great job. And we ended up almost writing a Muppet movie. And love Lisa Henson, a wonderful woman. Really enjoyed working with her. But so I'm a Muppet freak. But Muppet Christmas Carol is one of my least favorite Muppet movies. The original Muppet movie is one of the all-time greats.
Wow.
Oh, the original Muppet movie is phenomenal.
And I will tell you this.
Kermit's songs still make me cry.
Yeah. Who does Kermit play in Muppet Christmas Carol? I forget who it is. Who does Kermit play? He plays, he doesn't play,
He doesn't play Tiny Tim.
He doesn't,
He's Tiny Tim's dad. He's Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, and see, that's what it was. It's wrong casting. That's, I remember watching it and being like, why is Kermit playing Bob Cratchit? Like, or the dad? Like, anyway, so
who do you think he should have been cast as?
He should have been Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim.
Kermit should have been Tiny Tim.
He should have been. Kermit has to be. Look,
there was
the
role for Tiny Tim was tiny.
I have to. I have to be honest with you. Christmas Carol is not a perfect movie for the Muppets. You have to think about this. Like, we had meetings about them because they did a Wizard of Oz as well, and like we were going to write the Muppet Wizard of Oz, and we ended up not doing it because I'm like, Kermit needs to be Dorothy. And they're like, no, we're going to get like a pop singer. And I forget who they got, but we're going to get a female actress to be, and we're going to make him like the Scarecrow or something like that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Kermit is the star. Kermit is the center of everything that happens to the Muppets. It says the idea of Wizard of Oz has to be about it. Forget the sex, the gender of Dorothy. It's about the Wizard of Oz is Dorothy's story, and every Muppet story has to center around Kermit. Kermit's your star. Why are you going away from your star? Like, we got into this huge argument about Kermit and Kermit's character. And like, Dorothy's a woman. I'm like, it doesn't need to be a woman. It's about the wonderment and understanding. Anyway, we got into this whole thing. I got super passionate about Kermit. And of course, we didn't get the job. My point is that I think at various times over the course of the Muppets have gone through different machinations and different ownership groups. I think at various times over the course of the Muppets since the death of Jim Henson, that I think they have been, misguided in some of the casting that they've done with the Muppets. And
okay,
so then there you go.
So I want all three of you really quickly to just give me your go-to Christmas movie then so we can end this debate once and for all.
Home Alone.
Die Hard.
No, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie.
Bruce Willis said it's not a Christmas movie.
Bruce said it wasn't a Christmas movie. Isn't that what he can't say?
First off, Bryce Willis said it as a joke at 30 years later after at the end of a roast, but Steven D'Souza, who wrote the movie, who created the universe of Die Hard, says he wrote it as a Christmas movie. So I don't care actually what an actor says.
Wow.
It is absolutely 100% a Christmas movie. Do it a poll. Like, this has been a debate a bunch of times. A bunch of different shows have done this. Other podcasts have done this as
We're
well.
We're not
so
doing a poll not, on that. It's been done a million
It's been
times.
Done a million times.
My favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, that's good.
That's my second one. I would agree. After
But Christmas Story is coming in like second.
After Die Hard, it is It's a Wonderful Life. I agree with Stefania there.
I mean, that is one of my favorite Jimmy Stewart. Like, that he is, for all the terrific acting they did, Jimmy Stewart went to Princeton. It's a Wonderful Life is really one of my, and you know what? You could watch it now and all the same lessons hold absolutely 1,000% true.
Steven D'Souza, who created Die Hard, who wrote the movie, said, I wrote it as a Christmas movie. Bruce Willis's opinion means nothing about almost anything, especially Die Hard.
Wow.
You heard me.
My favorite Christmas
100%.
Movie is Uncle Buck,
hey, Bruce
by the
Willis,
way.
Bruce Willis, you are open invitation to Bruce Willis to come on the show and debate me on Die Hard and it's being Christmas movie.
I'm sure he's listening right now and planning his
Whatever.
Schedule
by
around
the way,
it.
Everyone at home is agreeing with me, by the way.
Actually, nobody is agreeing with you in the chat, so.
I love how Matthew throws down the gauntlet, like, open invitation to Bruce Willis to come on some fantasy football podcast.
That's right.
You know,
that's
like
right, baby.
He's like, call my agent,
award.
Get me booked on that show right now.
By the way.
If there is nothing else I do in 2018 is I'm going to come on and defend myself
way,
to Matthew Berry.
By the way, Bruce Willis, I'm happy to come on your podcast or wherever you appear and debate you about this as well. By the way, and I'm not the only one. Everyone thinks it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
And again,
Bruce
I'm like
probably is on an island he owns right now. Cannot be bothered by our nonsense. Shall we talk about
I
the
have
Cowboys?
A phrase I bet he's saying to you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way,
the Cowboys.
Anyway. It's not an original debate. I just want to be clear about that. This is not an original bit. Many people have had this debate.
The hot dog sandwich? I was just thinking about this recently.
You and original bits?
No, I'm being beyond. I just want to be clear about this because I get annoyed when other people, quote, you know, I just want to acknowledge that many people have had this debate for years and years and years.
We've even had
it
on the show.
Yes, and we've had it on our show many times before as well.
Zeke Elliott and Amari Cooper are the Cowboys that you feel comfortable starting here. In terms of injuries, none of the skill players. But I've been told that Tyron Smith, their left tackle, is unlikely to play.
Yeah. I mean, he came in as questionable. I did look at that. It definitely makes you a little bit, you know, when Tyron Smith is down, that changes the game for Dak Prescott.
Yep. And he has, I don't know if we have the splits available here, but I'm just telling you the numbers all the way around are down for the Dallas Cowboys when Tyron Smith does not play, especially against an excellent pass rusher that the Saints do have Cam Jordan being their best defensive player, at least amongst their front seven guys. But the player that I think a lot of people are asking about, it's not Zeke, it's not Amari Cooper, who's been certainly pretty productive for the Cowboys since being traded, but it's Dak Prescott, who is the focal point of our IBM Insight of the Week. Kyle Soppy, what say you?
Dak's been a top 10 quarterback since week 6, but his chance to boom this week and score over 23.8 points sits at just 7%. He actually has a higher chance to bust this week. How much confidence do you guys have in the Cowboys quarterback tonight?
All right, so Dak Prescott, can I have those numbers one more time, the boom bust rank?
Boom was 23.8 points, which was a 7% chance. That'd be his third best game of the year. His bust potential was 8.6% to go under 12.3.
So it sounds like Watson thinks he's going to be right
there. A lot of numbers there.
No, Watson thinks like a reasonable forecast for Dak. Like probably won't go nuts, but probably won't give you a 5 point.
Probably will fall right in the middle of the road.
And I think that's about fair, right? Because this is a player who's got 5 rushing touchdowns over his past 6 games. He's got a chemistry with Amari Cooper that makes him a bit more relevant as a passer. Now, I'm still not sold on Dak Prescott as a passer to expose a defense that we think can be exposed in that Saints secondary. And part of the reason why the Saints get exposed, by the way, is they're up by like 47 points. All of a sudden, your teams are having to throw the ball 50 times a game. We've all got Dak outside of our top 10, so none of us are proclaiming that Dak is a must start. But a quarterback has surpassed 20 fantasy points 5 times against the Saints this season, Matthew. It could certainly take place.
It certainly could. And you think about Dak, who's, you know, rushing has really come on strong lately. Rushing touchdown in 3 straight games, 5 in his past 6. Saints – have allowed the most quarterback rushing touchdowns in the NFL this year. So that has been something that has been a bugaboo for their defense.
Sure. Yeah.
That said, you know, Tyron Smith not playing tonight, that's not ideal. And could this defense make the Cowboys somewhat one-dimensional? Because as you point, they get up big and then all of a sudden you have to throw and you get out of their rhythm. Because what the Cowboys need to do, how they win games, is they slow it down. They play good defense. They run Ezekiel Elliott. They set up play action. They get Amari Cooper involved. But they are a very slow pace of play offense.
Sure.
And so in a speed-up game against the Saints, you're not going to win a track meet with the Saints. So
correct.
Their chances of winning this game are really slowing it down, playing really good defense, limiting Drew Brees and New Orleans. Look, as a Redskins fan, I'm really hoping for the Saints here. I have back Dak Prescott at QB 15 this week, heading into the week, like literally mid-tier QB 2. And I am pro-Dak, by the way. I mean, I have been for quite some time thinking he's going to be a top 12 guy here, but feels like to me the Saints have actually played pretty good defense recently. They're the fourth best scoring defense over the last 4 weeks. You know, and look, some of that's like whatever. Matt Ryan put up a ton of yards against them last week, and then of course, you know, had some, there were some untimely turnovers. But that's, it's credit to the Saints for some of that as well.
But by the way, I like the fact that you said, like, I really hope as a Redskins fan that the Cowboys don't win tonight. Like, do you have to really hope for this one? Like,
anything's possible. It's the NFL. Look, the Bills went into Minnesota and beat the crap out of them. Anything's possible. It's the NFL.
That's fair enough.
I mean, look, we're going to do pigskin pick 'em here. Am I taking the Saints? Of course I'm taking the Saints. They're 7.5
wow,
point favorites.
Well, pigskin pick 'em.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's what I do. I ruin things.
True.
But yeah, I mean, do I think the Cowboys have no chance at all? Of course not.
Okay.
It's the NFL.
So
any given Sunday,
then.
Any given Thursday.
You teed it right up. Let's pick the game. The Cowboys are 7.5 point underdogs. I have the Saints. Matthew has the Saints as well. Stefania, how about you?
I'll take the Saints.
Daniel?
I think I will also take the Saints.
A clean sweep for New Orleans, who is just ridiculous right now. Again, averaging 37 points a game this season. Look at their margin of victory recently. 14, 41, 37, 10, 10, 1. Wow. 24, 25. 6-3. They are just a freight train of late. All right. So Fine's going to tell us about 23andMe before we return for some love-hate talk.
Did you know that now through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale?
Now
I did not know that.
23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. A 23andMe DNA kit is the perfect gift for everyone you love. There's never been a better way to give the gift of genetic discovery to your parents, your siblings, your aunts, your grandparents, and everyone else on your list. It's the one gift you can buy the entire family that will be unique for each loved one. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes over 90 personalized genetic reports that offers DNA insights on what make you unique. And it's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports, including your ancestry composition report. With 23andMe's ancestry composition report, you can explore where your DNA is from out of over 150 regions worldwide. You can explore the genetics behind your appearance and senses. For instance, your ability to match musical pitch. If you hear a musical note, can you sing it back? While matching pitch comes naturally for some, it's also almost impossible for others. Genetics can play a role in your ability to match a musical pitch. And we learned about this one yesterday. Matthew, you might want to pay attention to this one.
I'm always paying attention. I'm listening to you at all times.
Misophonia.
What is misophonia?
Almost everyone hates noises like nails on a chalkboard. For people with misophonia, everyday noises like the sound of chewing can cause a similar reaction along with rage or panic. You know, a member of our squad has misophonia.
Oh, wow. Who's that?
Yeah, he sits behind the glass.
Is that Secret Squirrel?
No.
Is it Keith Lipscomb?
Yeah. And do you have a genetic variant associated with hating chewing sounds? Because Keith does.
I have to tell you, I have a genetic variant on almost everything, to be perfectly clear.
I know. 23andMe doesn't have enough time in the
chewing
day.
Sounds.
But now, through December 25th.
I haven't done my 23andMe thing yet because I'm pretty sure I would break it.
How is that possible?
They're like, wait, there's only supposed to
you're
be
not
2%
actually human.
Neanderthal.
They sent me back. You're half cat. Something like that.
That would explain so much.
I know.
Like, we kind of have to have you do it now because there's so much about you that is so unique and so different in every
right.
single way that, like,
I'm scared.
I don't know if I want to learn.
I don't want to know if I want to know.
It would lead to fun times around the Barry household. Like, wait a minute.
Right.
But now, through December 25th, Matthew, you can get a special discount on your 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 23andMe.com/FFF. Again, that's 23andMe.com/FFF.
All right, let's get now to Love Hate. Matthew's column, of course, will be out later on today. If it is out, not out as of when you're listening to this podcast. Week 13 quarterbacks you love, Matthew. Jameis Winston taking on the Carolina Panthers. He's got a robust projection of 21.1 points, and you say pound the over. It's going to happen. What do you got?
Yes, I would agree with that. I'm saying pound the over on Jameis Winston. Look, Panthers allow the third most, the second most touchdown passes this season, right? They're allowing the fourth most points to quarterbacks. Part of the reason why Carolina struggled so much, Field, is they can't defend the deep ball, right? They allow the third most yards per completion, the fifth highest touchdown percentage on deep passes. And then you think about Jameis Winston, right, who leads all quarterbacks in air yards per attempt this season. He scored over 20 fantasy points in three of his four starts this year. So, yes, I am taking the over on 21.5, his ESPN projection in week 13.
Good stuff there on Jameis Winston. We had a conversation about him earlier on this week. The biggest detriment, I think, in most people's eyes about Jameis Winston is the possibility of him getting pulled. But if he stays in the game, we know that fantasy success.
Well, I will say this. Likely. Like, just to be clear about this, that the last time I recommended Jameis Winston, he did get pulled. And he got pulled, but the clip of me talking about Jameis Winston didn't get pulled. And so it aired and got promoted for like a week later. That was a good time. That was a lot of fun in my life.
If he gets pulled?
What?
Do you want that? Because I can put in a call.
If you could.
Have that happen again.
If you could. Yeah. So
the question is, do you want me to call Dirk Cutter and tell him to pull Jameis at halftime, or do you want me to call some of the suits here at ESPN to make sure that when he gets pulled,
We keep promoting the clip of me doing wrong stuff.
Right.
I think Dirk Cutter is probably the better call for you.
Okay.
Because the great thing is that even if the clip of me talking up Jameis Winston does get pulled on time and it's not still floating out there a week later after I blow the call, there'll be other calls that I will blow. So it's just like, oh wow, I really missed that talk of that video of Matthew talking up a player who did nothing well at all. And then there'll be another one that just comes along next. So that's the positives of talking about 200 players every single week.
There's always a way to find a mistake. Let's keep moving things forward here. The Bengals host the Broncos on Sunday, and we talked about Philip Lindsay for a while yesterday. Mike Clay kind of down on Philip Lindsay. You, not so much, Matthew. He's a love.
Yeah, to heck with Mike Clay. Mike Clay. Look, five rushing touchdowns in his last five games, right?
Yeah.
He's averaging 5.9 yards per carry over his last five. You think about the Bengals here in this defense, right? Over the last 4 weeks, Cincinnati allowing 198 rushing yards per game. The second most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs.
Yep.
This is a crazy stat, I think. 43.7% of Philip Lindsay's carries have gained five or more yards. Okay. Like almost half of his carries this year, Field, have gained 5 yards or more. Only Aaron Jones has been better among running backs with at least 100 carries. Like we always talk about how Aaron Jones has this big playability. Philip Lindsay is right there. One of the best stories in the NFL, I believe I saw your tweet. They signed him for $15,000.
That was Black Friday deal of the year, baby.
I mean, it's unbelievable. What a great story. I'm looking forward to the 30 for 30 on Philip Lindsay. What if I told you?
He's from the area.
Yes.
From
it's
Denver.
Everything.
It's an amazing
story. It's everything about that story.
It's a legit great story, and it's a legit great story for fantasy. I have him, over his projection of 15.2 fantasy points. Give me the over. He's a love this week. Give me some Philip Lindsay.
Couple of hates for this week, and obviously Mike gives us the cornerback wide receiver matchups, and we talk about players that face difficult matches, but our colleague Tristan Cockcroft each week sorts like who is the strongest defense in terms of adding or taking away points to an opposing quarterback or wide receiver or running back.
Does a great job.
And I believe the worst defense to face when it comes to quarterbacks, as in like they've taken away the greatest number of points on average this year, is the Minnesota Vikings, which is probably the reason why Tom Brady is on your hate list.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, right? He hadn't been great this year.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not trying to be hot takey or anything like that, because Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. He's truly the GOAT.
Prove it.
He really is, right? But three touchdown passes in his past four games.
Yep.
He has struggled candidly all year. He has not been the fantasy quarterback you drafted. And no quarterback, you know, as we sort of chart these things, No quarterback has been off target on a higher percentage of his passes than Tom Brady. He's been off target on 22% of his passes. I mean, we saw it last week when he was throwing balls in the dirt at James White's feet. I mean, he's just been off this year for whatever reason. The only two quarterbacks that have been off target 21% or more, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Tom Brady. Like, that's the list,
that's
right? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? I mean, so he's going up, he's at home, which is great, but he's against the Vikings. We're projecting him for 16.5 points. I'm taking the under on 16.5 field because you think about the only three times this year has a quarterback scored more than 16 points against the Vikings. Among the quarterbacks have not gotten to 16 fantasy points against him, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Mitchell Trubisky.
I'm just wondering on this one.
Last thing I'll say. If Xavier Rhodes does not play in this game, mm-hmm. he would come off the hate list.
Yeah.
But as of right now, the expectation is Xavier Rhodes plays in this game. So yes, I'm taking the under on 16.5.
Just wondering.
Yes, sir.
Is home Brady a thing this year? Or maybe road Brady would be a thing this year, because look at Tom Brady in the five games he has played at Gillette Stadium this season. 277 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Next game. 274 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Following week, 341 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. 3 straight games of him throwing at least 3 passing touchdowns. Then against the Chiefs, that unbelievable game on Sunday night, 340 passing yards, 1 throwing touchdown, plus 1 rushing touchdown. And then against the Packers, the most recent game, 294 passing yards and 1 touchdown. So it seems like Tom Brady has been quite a bit better at home than he has been on the road so far this year. Not saying it necessarily rears itself on Sunday night, but perhaps it gives you a bit of confidence. As Kyle points out, for Brady at home, 21.1 points per game this season. Quite a bit lower on the road.
Those two picks per game, not helping.
He definitely plays better at Gillette, but think about the defenses he's played. So Houston in week one, Miami, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Packers, not one defense that I think is anywhere close to the caliber of the Minnesota Vikings.
Just introducing the possibility. Last player that makes your hate list this week, Matthew, and I'm assuming it's because you hate the team he plays for, the Redskins.
So he's averaging 21 fantasy points per game. Like you want to do board bet here?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't have Tom Brady ranked, I think, any higher than you. I think I have him the same place you do.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got him at like 16.
I
am introducing the possibility that this construct exists of home and road Brady.
Look, there are arguments to be made for Tom Brady other than the fact that just he's Tom Brady in capital letters and he is at home. He's gotten Rob Gronkowski back. Look, traditionally throughout his career, he has always been a worse fantasy quarterback when Rob Gronkowski has been out of the lineup or at not than 100%. So as we've talked about, and Stefania talked about it the other day as well, that Gronk looks like Gronk again. Finally looks like he's healthy. And so a second game with Gronk back fully healthy, Josh Gordon getting Rex Burkhead back. So that's another wrinkle to this offense.
Yeah.
Yes, he makes my hate list. I'm projecting under 16.5.
We'll talk about this more tomorrow, but it is worth noting that Rob Gronkowski was removed from the injury report this week, which I tweeted yesterday is 100%, which is a bit of a misperception, right? No one's 100% at this point of the year, but the fact that Gronk is not limited, good news. Right?
Also, I think he's got a chronic issue that is not going away. But this, I think what we saw was as good as Gronk gets at this point in his career.
Let's do one more quick hate, and then we'll get into our ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week. It's Adrian Peterson. Matthew, of course, hates the Redskins, so I'm sure that's a big reason why you have him down against the Eagles on Monday night.
I'm just calling it like I see him. Last four games, 56 carries for 171 yards. Guy's averaging 3 yards a carry, right, in his last four games.
Yeah.
He's actually averaging more yards per carry after first contact than before. I mean, which just goes to speak kind of the physicality of Adrian Peterson and sort of the brilliance of him as a running back, and also just how poor that offensive line has played. Now, there's been a lot of shuffling there and a lot of injuries, of course, but regardless, it's kind of crazy that he's actually gaining more yards per carry after first contact than before first contact over the last four. They're top 12, the Eagles. While their rush defense has not been great, they are top 12 in terms of limiting running back yards per carry before first contact this season. And so my expectation here is that Philadelphia says, you know what? We're going to load the box. We'll take our chances with Colt McCoy. Their secondary is getting a little bit better. It's healthier this week than it was in previous weeks. So that's my expectation, is that they load the box and they say, we'll take our chances with Colt McCoy beating us. Keep in mind, Chris Thompson's expected back in this game, right, Stefania? He was in uniform yesterday.
Yeah, he's back in practicing, so it's certainly encouraging. We'll see what happens when Friday comes. He's been out for a long time.
He has, but I know that the Redskins trust Chris Thompson in a way that they never have with Capri Bibbs. So I think some of the volume that you've seen with Adrian Peterson may not be there with the return of Chris Thompson as well. I also think the Eagles will be able to score on a Redskins defense that struggled recently as well. So I think game script will help as well. When Peterson has a big game, it's when the Redskins have been up or controlling the tempo. I don't think that happens on Monday night. So yes, give me the under on 13.1 points.
Time now for a crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
Cyber Monday was a few days away, but the trend and the sales continue, Field Yates.
Okay.
At rotopassdaily.com, if you play DFS, if you want to get into it, whether it's NBA, NHL, NFL, college sports, we've got, lineup generators and data and tools and alerts and everything you could possibly need to compete in DFS at the highest level to have a lot of fun. Go to rotopassdaily.com. If you use the promo code CYBER, you get 15% off. You get full access to like Fantasy Labs and Daily Roto and ESPN Plus and Roto Grinders and just Roto Wire and just a bunch of great sites that really crush it in the daily fantasy sports area, the DFS arena. So check that out. RotoPassDaily.com. Use the promo code CYBER for 15% off.
Good stuff right there. Let's get now to our ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week submissions. And Daniel, I allow you to take it from here.
Before that, really quickly, yeah. I do just want to say V Foundation Week continues this week. If you want to, if you want to be able to donate, Matthew, you have the, where it is that we need to go for this?
Well, a couple of things. So JimmyV.org is where you obviously you go and you donate, and no amount too small. We can all afford different things, but 100% of the proceeds go to cancer research.
Love it.
So, yep. I mean, and by the way, that's an important distinction. We bring that up because a lot of charities, that's not the case. And so, like costs for overhead or for advertising or anything that Jimmy V does, your money isn't paying for that. That's subsidized by grants and ESPN and the generosity of the Disney Corporation. So 100% of your donations go to fight cancer and for cancer research at the Jimmy V Foundation, jimmyv.org. And as always, if I have blocked you on social media, and a couple of weeks ago, I went on kind of a tear. I went on a Matumbo-esque tear. If I have blocked you on social media, or if anyone at ESPN has unblocked you on social media, I can't promise anyone else, but I can certainly send a note. I've been mostly successful, and then a couple of people that have turned me down. But I've been mostly successful in terms of being able to saying, hey, this person made a donation. Would you, Field Yates, be willing to unblock this person, whoever it is? So here's what you do. You go to JimmyV.org. You make a donation. You take a screenshot or take a copy of the receipt that you'll get. You send that receipt or a copy of that receipt along with whatever your Twitter handle, your Instagram, your whatever your social media handle is where you've been blocked. And you send that to unblockme@ESPN.com. And we will unblock you. You can do that even if you haven't been blocked. If you're a nice person on social media, it's a great excuse. Last night at 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN and all of our networks, we replayed the Jim Valvano speech from the ESPYs.
Yep.
It is the best 11 minutes you'll spend anytime. I watch it at least once a year. Highly recommend it. You can watch it at jimmyv.org. So, go check that out. It's something that means a tremendous amount to, I think, all of us here, on the show. I'll say that for my personal thing, I think it is the best thing this company does, and I don't think it's close. My column, my love-hate column comes out later today. It deals with cancer and deals with the Jimmy V Foundation. And so anyway, we just want to remind you it's V Week. And so if you can afford it, because cancer touches us all.
Daniel, take well said there by Matthew. And of course, our friends at We Rate Dogs continue to make an effort as well. If you want to go to WeRateDogs.com.
And our buddies Kit and Chip, if you want to go to send an email to 06010music@gmail.com with a donation receipt, they will send you all of the theme songs for everybody here at the Fantasy Focus as a part of that. All of that is going directly to the V Foundation as well.
And listen, we're not checking it. So like you could make one donation. You could get unblocked on social media. You can send it to Kit and Chip. You can send it to We Rate Dogs, right? I mean, like you could really, for one donation, you could kind of clean up.
Yeah.
candidly.
Speaking of cleaning up.
Yes, sir.
That was a really bad segue.
I was going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about, but let's roll with it.
ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. This week's question was, you wake up and find yourself in a Freaky Friday situation. For one day, you switched bodies with one member of the 06010.
This is a good one.
Who are you hoping you switched with and why? Michael Elliott says, I'd swap bodies with Stefania Bell because that would come with two tickets to the gun show.
Ooh, I like that. Short, sweet.
Short, sweet, and accurate.
This one comes from Daniel Bodley. Matthew Berry, because I'm getting curious what it would be like to be out of breath from getting up and walking to the restroom.
Wow.
Daniel.
Not so much harsh. Fun. It's just a random shot.
Daniel Bodley?
Bodley.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday body situation.
This one comes from Matthew Ramirez. Keith, he seems pretty tall.
He is pretty tall.
He's tall and lanky. Yeah.
He is lanky.
This one
lanky Keith Lipscomb.
Jackson Cochran. He says, did everyone forget about the best member of the 06010? International recording superstar Eric Hutchinson. He's a freaking international recording superstar.
This is well done.
I want to live the rock star lifestyle for one day as Hutch, and he can deliver my mail route during the holidays. If you don't want to, if you don't believe he's a member of the show, then let me tell you otherwise. So that is from Jackson.
That was a clever one. I like that.
This one comes.
And by the way, I mean, it's our theme song every single day.
Yeah.
By the way, go to erichutchinson.com. Follow him on Twitter at erichutchinson.
And it's true.
We love Hutch.
You could. He is a rock star. We're not.
Yeah.
This one is from Ed Fink. He says, Matthew said it's fair to go to town on this answer.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And he's also often said how he outkicked his coverage and how beautiful and talented the current Mrs. Roto is.
Uh-oh. All true.
Oh, I know
so
where this
it seemed
is
like the most fun way to spend this Freaky Friday is staying up all night long with Beth Berry. Which is why my choice is Stefania. All the pros of being friends with Mrs. Berry, chocolate chip cookies at 4 a.m. Yep. and live texting episodes of The Bachelor with none of the cons of best phone calls interrupting my workday. Obviously, Stefania's the choice here.
See? It's a good rationale.
What's the question? What's the question?
I don't understand it. Like, I thought he wants to
stay up all night long with Beth.
Yeah, he wants to hang with Beth.
So obviously he wants to be Stefania. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
It was
okay.
Kind of making fun of you,
so
Dan.
See how it works?
Yeah.
I
thought he was trying to do like I was going to, hook up with my wife.
No, he wasn't that. He wasn't where your mind is.
He led you there.
In the gutter.
And then he took a different path.
Yes, because it's called.
Which is the wrong path, by the way. My wife is super hot, you know, like. I'm just telling you.
I'm sure your wife appreciates this right now.
This one is from Chelsea Flores. I'm 38 weeks pregnant with twins. I will switch bodies with literally anyone from the cast.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
We have two more. This
yes,
one's from Whit Baldwin. You gotta go with Field. As someone whose body hurts more and more every year that passes, you're just blowing it if you don't put yourself in the youngest body possible.
Thank you.
That is our buddy Whit. Well, Whit is in a Whit's like in a Broadway show where he gets like pelted with like paintballs every day.
Yeah.
It's like it's this crazy
really?
Japanese game show thing that he does. I apologize, Whit. Listens every single day. But I'll see if I can figure it's Thirsty Cow. Figure out what the name of the show
is. Whit Baldwin.
At Whit Baldwin on Twitter. But anyway, he does this crazy show and like he beats himself up on stage. Him and
then
his
he listens to us to beat himself up.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. So
all right,
I don't know.
This last one comes from Ryan Troutman. I want to be not cool, Keith. I feel like he can probably dunk a basketball, and I've always wanted to be able to throw one down.
A lot of love for Keith.
Can you dunk a basketball, Keith? I don't think you can.
Yes, he can.
Not now at 46. I can't.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but
could you at one point in your life?
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah,
I was not with great force though.
Right.
Let's be clear. I was a quick jumper, not a really, really high jumper.
Right.
Yeah, he had style points, though. I guarantee you that.
I believe that. I believe that.
A quick rundown of what we had. We had Michael with tickets to the gun show with Stefania.
Okay.
We had Daniel.
Who
wanted to be Matthew, being out of shape, walking to the bathroom.
We can cut that one.
We had Matthew, who wants to be Keith because he's tall. We had Jackson, who wanted to be Eric Hutchinson.
I do like the reference to Hutch. All right.
Yeah.
We have Ed that wanted to be, hang out with Beth via Stefania.
Okay, maybe.
Chelsea is pregnant, so she would literally be anyone on the show.
That was good.
Whit, Field with the youngest body, and Ryan Keith just wants to dunk a basketball.
I have an obvious answer.
I would cut, Whit and Ryan there. But I want to give a shout out to Whit's show. Have we figured that out what it is yet? Thirsty Kyle?
No, right now he's currently working on something else.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Understood. Anyway, follow Whit. I'm sure if you follow him on Twitter, at Whit Baldwin, he'll tell you what show it's, what it is. And, so we like Whit. He's friend of the show.
I think there are three.
Okay, go ahead.
I think there is Michael with the tickets to the gun show.
Yep.
Because Stefania Sleeveless has become a thing.
Yep. Yep.
True.
Okay. I think it's Jackson with international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson.
Yep. Yep. Right.
And I think it's Chelsea being pregnant.
I think
it's those three.
Yeah.
I think it's Chelsea being
pregnant. It's got to be Chelsea. She's 38 weeks pregnant. With twins, no less. That's amazing. Like, but what happens, if she delivers the baby, can she also deliver these lines?
That's a great question.
That is a very good question. I just
make an exemption if that's what it takes.
My wife was also, we have twins, and my wife went to 38 and a half weeks.
Right.
Basically full term. And my wife, who is an itty bitty little thing, was a house. She was a house and a half. I'll show you guys pictures.
Well, when you have babies in your stomach.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. You have to understand also, my wife is 5'3" and just an itty bitty thing. And so she was carrying around almost 14 pounds of baby, in terms of when they were born. So, she was on bed rest for the last week. She couldn't get in and out of bed without help. I can only imagine what it is like for you, Chelsea, carrying around twins at 38 weeks pregnant. God bless you. Best of luck. I hope the babies are named Matthew and Field.
Yeah, so it'd be a great suggestion right there.
Obviously, even if they're girls. Stefania is too unique a name. It's too unique a name, Stefania. Don't look at me like that.
I think Stefania is a beautiful name for
it
the
It is a
record,
beautiful name.
Matthew
it's a gorgeous
Field
name.
Would be great, especially if it's twin boys.
Yeah, go ahead.
You go the George Foreman theory. Just call them both the same thing.
Yeah.
Aren't all of George Foreman's kids named George?
I really like Daniel more.
It's George, awesome.
You name your kid Field, they're going to get picked on out of recess. Daniel's just a strong biblical name. You know what I mean?
Whatever.
You can be named Daniel, and your twin could be named Daniel. And then 18 of your classmates are also 100%. Named Daniel.
Yeah, actually, both. Yeah, yeah. Chelsea, both of your name both of your babies Matthew. Matthew and Maddie. Maybe that's a way to go.
She's gonna have twin girls.
Wait, so then Maddie and Maddie. We've decided. So is Chelsea?
I think
our
it's gotta be Chelsea.
Okay,
yeah,
I think make a run of three straight ladies.
Yeah, the Eric Hutchinson was a strong first runner up.
Yeah.
A really strong first runner up.
Yep.
True. You can't help but sympathize with Chelsea. I want her to be able to trade bodies with anybody, not me. Because I don't want to feel 38 weeks pregnant.
Fair enough.
But I'm happy to put Matthew in that position because really Beth, I bet, would enjoy Matthew feeling what it feels like to be 38.
Oh, honestly, I look like I'm 38 weeks pregnant now, so it's fine. It wouldn't be a big stress on your body. Just buy a baggier shirt.
And congratulations to Chelsea for being the ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week.
Chelsea.
Congratulations.
There you go, Chelsea.
Next week's question is.
Yep.
You can have an 0600 member go with you to any event, a birthing class, a divorce filing, a high school reunion. You choose which event and who are you taking to said event?
Interesting. Okay.
Wow.
I like that. You're bringing one of us to some sort of event, you decide on both factors.
Right.
We are back on Friday with a full preview show.
ZipRecruiter.com/fan is where you can go to be able to submit that.
ZipRecruiter.com/fan. I think I might choose Field and say shopping, honestly.
Or brewery.
Shopping and a craft brewery.
Right.
Exactly. By the way, Whit Baldwin's, it's Batsu, and it's a Japanese game show, so I'm sure you can Google that.
Batsu.
Good stuff.
Right.
Go see that. So, hey, Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus later today, the Love-Hate edition for Week 13, and my Love-Hate column will be out in a little bit. I hope you read this one.
Matthew Berry, TMR on all forms of social media, excluding the Fantasy Life app. He's just Matthew Berry there. She is StefaniaB87 on Instagram and Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Failed Yates on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to see a picture of me wearing Matthew's helmet, you know where to find it. Back on Friday.
So
peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv. At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make, 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 make.
happen.
Mediocre fans.